Am I on? You can hear me? Am I right on? I have been looking forward to today for a long time. I always enjoy coming here, and when they have me do a men's group, you guys have an awesome group of men. I don't get to spend time with the ladies. I always wanted to do a ladies' retreat, but I've never been invited. So, yesterday I told the men that I came with a five-barrel shotgun, all barrels loaded, and I didn't know which trigger to pull. And so we went around the group and had them share just very briefly, and I saw very clearly which trigger to pull. And I thought, okay, I got four more. Which one goes today? And the Lord said, put that one down as a one barrel today. So, are you ready for this? I am a teacher, as you know, a professor. Taught Bible on college campuses for 40 years, but I've been preaching since 1957. I've been at this a while, and I have taught through the Bible on the college level many times. There's not a book in the Bible that I haven't taught through at least three, four times. As most of you know, Gospel of John, I've done so many times I lost count. Love the Gospel of John. But there is a phrase that I found at the end of the book of Galatians that fascinated me. And I want to share that with you and some things from it. It's, you know, when we're reading the Bible, we skim over the begats and the begotten and who got who. And we skip over a lot of the genealogy. We skip over the introduction, I, Paul, an apostle, etc. We skip over that. And then the conclusion where he is basically speaking a blessing to the people he's writing to. We just read that and go to the next book. But I want to draw attention to a phrase in verse 18 of Galatians chapter 6. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. What does that mean? The grace, you see, we have a bunch of religious words. And by that I mean words that we use in church that we don't really know what they mean. And grace is one of them. Most people will give a definition of grace, a favor freely done that you don't deserve. Now I'm going to illustrate something about that definition. I hate that definition. You'll read it in all the commentaries, but I don't like that definition. And I'll tell you why. We'll say, for example, Joe is late on his mortgage. I didn't mean to tell everyone, but Joe's late on his mortgage, and I get up one morning, and God says, I want you to write a check to Joe for $1,342. And 13 cents. So I write out the check and I come knock on his door. And I say, Joe, the Lord told me to pay your mortgage this year. I don't know if yours is that much, but there. Now, what do you think's happening in him? He's just about to rejoice, right? And I say, but you need to understand, you don't deserve this. If you'd take care of your finances. Now, what happened to his joy? Keep your filthy check. I'll work this out myself. Do you see? Many people think grace is a gift that you don't deserve. How does that make you feel? Not very good. I'm an undeserving worm, which is a lot of teaching in the church. But I want to open up this word grace to you this morning. But before I do, I want to talk very briefly about the word Spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. We tend to think of spirit as some kind of a foggy substance thing that's in there and moves around or whatever. But actually, the word spirit in some context could actually be translated attitude. The way you come across to people. Your spirit comes across. I know none of you have ever done this, but one time I said some words to my wife, and she reacted. I know you guys, you don't do that to your wife, but I did, and she reacted. And I said, all I said was, and I repeated the words in a totally different tone of voice. And it sounded so benign, so wonderful the way I said it the second time. And she said, it's not the words, it's your tone of voice. Now, another word for tone of voice in that context would be, it was your spirit. The spirit in which you spoke it. You hear me? Spirit comes across and impacts people more than the words. The words may be good words, but if it's got that edge to it, that sharp edge to it, you're going to wound people. Why are you wounded? All I said was, but you see, underneath, I intended to wound you, but I don't want you to know that. I don't want you to know that. You following what I'm doing this morning? Grace, I read years ago, I don't even remember where I read it. There's this scholar that was talking about the word grace. He's from England, and he was telling a story to illustrate his concept of grace. He was telling a story about a great art collection that had come to London in the art museum, and they were people were coming through and looking at the art, and it was only there for a short time, and everyone, just the crowds coming in, crowds going out. And the guards on the way out, the door on the way out, the guards were instructed, ask the people as they come out, what did you think of the works of art? Because when people express their appreciation, their appreciation increases, and they will have enjoyed it much more if they have an opportunity to tell someone this was good. Okay? Now, it's just a principle on the side about how important it is for you to tell people what God did for you. It's good for you to tell them. It's good for them to hear it. Because it increases the value of it in your spirit when you say it. But he tells this story, and there's this one guy that had gone through the museum, and he came out, and the guard asked him, what'd you think of our art? And the man said, well, quite frankly, I don't think too much of your art. And this guard had the perfect response. He said, sir, these works of art are no longer up for judgment, but those who view them are. Having told that story, he explained the real meaning of the word grace in the Greek language is that quality in an act or a word that brings joy. Now, I brought my spiritual PowerPoint with me this morning. How many of you see the screen? Spiritual people always see the screen. You see the screen? Eddie sees it. Okay. So here's the screen. I got my PowerPoint. And wonderful thing about this, I can write backwards and you can't see my penmanship. I'm going to write the root, C-H-A-R. See it? Can you see it? C-H-A-R. That is the root of the word that we call grace. Now, right below that, I'm going to write C-H-A-R-I-S. Charis. That's the Greek word for grace. Now watch me. Can you see it? See it okay? Can you see it okay? All right. C-H-A-R-A. Kara. Joy. Grace and joy are related. Grace and joy are related. Grace is a word that the Greek, the secular Greek of the New Testament time would use with reference to the art museum or a theater performance, a drama, a musical orchestra, something like that, that was extremely well done. Now, how do I know that it was? How many of you have heard of a gracious dancer, a graceful dancer? Grace. The way they move around, just something in you just rises up. You know what I mean. The word grace, actually we can see it in the English language there. So that quality in a performance, we'll say, and I'm not talking about whenever it's your kid doing the high school drama, but a really like Broadway. Extremely well done. Good actors. My wife and I were able to go see Yul Brynner, the king, and I one month before he died. And when that guy walked on the stage, the whole audience, I mean the whole theater was filled with his presence. I was amazed knowing how sick he was, and yet there it is, and he begins to speak, and I mean, the room is just filled with the vibrations of his presence. And you go through the whole thing, and when it's over, you're on your feet clapping with a standing ovation and don't even remember standing up. The quality in that performance that got the people off the chair, on their feet, clapping, the Greeks called grace. So grace is not something you don't deserve. It's true you don't deserve it, but that's not the point. Grace is a quality that brings joy. Now, there's a passage where we're saved by grace, and we think, okay, I don't deserve it, but you saved me anyway. No! When I saw the grace of God, something in me turned loose. I saw it, and I was released. Actually, the C-H-A-R root can also be translated release. Interesting. We all know this. Well, let's just read this. We're still in Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and all of that, okay? Did you ever think a tree does not eat its own fruit? Is that too deep, or can you see what I mean by that? A tree does not eat its own fruit. The fruit is for someone else. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I just want to be loved. Joy. I just want to be happy. That's not it. Does my life make other people happy? Does my life help others to enter into the fullness? How are people nurtured by your presence in their life? See, that's the kind of question that I'm asking. Now, I want to go to another passage, and we're going to do a bunch this morning. Let's go to the book of Acts. You don't actually have to turn there. This is the story in chapter 11 where the gospel had got to Antioch of Syria, and the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas up there to check things out, see if what it is. And the text reads this way. It says, when he came and saw the grace of God. The grace of God is something you can see. He went up there and just observed what's happening in the church in Antioch, and he saw something. What did he see? Notice this. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. Kara, joy. He rejoiced. Something about that church released him to just rejoice. Standing ovation. There is the internal response. Grace is something you can see on other people if it's there. What do people... I'm not going to meddle, but what do people see when they look at you? Mm-hmm. I used to ask my students the question. I love working with that age group. You know, they're just ready to do the stuff. I say, what would people see if they saw the deepest thing in you? And as I feel all of the anxieties rising up in them, I say, I'll tell you what they'd see. Jesus Christ is the deepest thing in you. Now, there's some crud in there that's hiding him, and you need to get rid of it. So he can come forth and shine and bring fruit to other for other people to eat. The fruit of your life. Love, joy, peace, and all of that. Now, so grace is something that you can see, something you can observe. Okay, let's see. Where is that one? Okay, let's... Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we're going somewhere with this. I mean, I'm laying a foundation. I'm a builder. Foundation, walls. We're going to get this thing done. In verse 29, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, so that, what you speak, so that it will give grace to those who hear. With your mouth, you can impart grace to others. When you speak, people say, oh, that really makes me feel good when you say that. And I noticed you guys impart grace to one another quite often here. You were doing that today, just imparting grace to one another with the words you were speaking to one another. So I'm just teaching you what you already know how to do. And I'm challenging you to do it more so. You with me? So speak and so act that others see the grace of God and are released to enter into joy of life. Now, let's go to, okay, Ephesians again, and this time I'm going to look at verse 7. Now, this is Paul speaking. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. Now, he's not saying, I didn't deserve it, but he lets me preach. That's not what he's saying. God put something in Paul, which is called grace. But it's not just grace. It's grace to do something. See, grace is the empowerment to be what you're called to be and to do what you're called to do. That's what grace is all about. And Paul said, this grace was given to me, the working of the power. To me, though I'm the very least of the saints, he realizes you don't deserve it, but that's not the point. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles. Paul had something about him. When he spoke, Gentiles listened. Now, in another passage, which we'll not turn to, he talks about the difference between himself and Peter. Peter has been entrusted with the gospel to the Jews, and Paul says, I have been entrusted with the gospel to the Gentiles. Now watch. Peter was given grace to speak to Jews. When he spoke, Jews listened. What happened when Paul preached to Jews? They stoned him. They ran him out of town. They criticized him. They beat him with whips. He did not have grace to speak to Jews. But he did anyway, because he had a burden for his own people. But what happened when he spoke to Gentiles? The whole, almost the whole world was evangelized by Paul, the Gentile world, during his one short lifetime. Because God put something in him that the Gentiles said, something's going on. Let's see what this is. This is good. And they would come, they would listen, they would get saved. Now, that's just an example of preaching the gospel. Every one of you have been given a grace to do. And if you're trying to do what Brother What's-His-Name does, or Sister Who's-It, if you're trying to copy what someone else is doing, it looks so good when they do that, and so I want to do what they do. So everyone will think I'm as wonderful as they are. How many of you notice you crash when you do that? I've got several years of my life I can testify I was trying to be something God didn't make me to be. I used to actually think, I had, past tense, a good memory. What am I talking about this morning? Okay. I used to have a really good memory. I memorized a lot of scriptures, and I could memorize. And I used to think if I could memorize one of Billy Graham's sermons, and if I had the organizational ability to get all of the crowd there in the Colosseum or in the theater or wherever, and I could do it, I could even cock my eye, the Bible says, you know, I could do that. Have the altar call, 10,000 people stand up and leave the auditorium. Because that's not my grace. God did not grace me to preach the gospel. He graced me to teach His word. And for years and years and years, when I settle down and stop trying to be like someone else and just open up the word, start talking about it, people start getting blessed. It's a grace that was given. To teach, to open the word. Now, I want to go to another passage. It's in the Bible somewhere. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 4. Okay, let's see. Verse 10. As each has received a gift. Now, I'm back to my PowerPoint. You with me? C-H-A-R, which is the root. C-H-A-R-I-S, that's grace. C-H-A-R-A, that's joy. C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A. Charisma. That's the word used here. Charisma is a very specific grace as it flows out and touches other people and brings joy and salvation for them in whatever area, not necessarily a ticket to heaven, but it sets something free in the people. Whenever the word comes forth, reconciliation in families begins to happen. When the word comes forth, stuff begins to happen in individuals and in groups, because the grace is in the words of the man or the woman who is graced to do that particular thing. You with me? Okay. As each has received a charisma. Hey, you got it up there. Use it. Put it to work. You know, one of the biggest problems in the church is unemployed charisma. It's an unemployment rate in the church. Every one of you guys have a charisma. But it's not the charisma to do what I do. It's not a charisma to do what Pastor Mac does. It's not a charisma to do what Basima does. What do you do? Every one of you have a grace, a charisma, an opportunity. The ma means you release it and something happens. Every one of us have got one. As each has received a charisma, get it a job. Put it to work. for the body of Christ. You with me? As each has received a charisma, use it, put it to work, serving one another as good stewards. How many of you have heard a teaching on stewardship? It was all money, right? You know, the parables that Jesus told about stewardship, they do use units of money, the mina or the whatever. It does use that so many, a 10 drachma or whatever they're using, but he's not talking about money. God has given you a grace, and you're a steward. Are you going to use that as a good steward? And that is the message for today, for all of us. Get a job for your charisma. Well, I don't know what my charisma is. Well, I'll tell you what. Do something that makes you happy and makes other people happy. There's your charisma right there. You enjoy it, and when you do it, other people enjoy it. Now, some people do what they enjoy, and everyone else gets bored. That's not what we're talking about. If it's not making other people happy, find something else to do that you enjoy that really brings joy to other people. How am I doing? Are you with me? As each has received a charisma, get it a job, serving one another as stewards. A steward is one who takes care of something that does not belong to him but belongs to another. It's not yours to possess. It's yours to distribute according to his leading. As each has received a charisma, put it to work to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Varied grace. The grace that he has, and I know there's several Ricks here, so the grace that he has for Rick is different from the grace that he has for Bob or Joe or whoever. It's different. So find out what you do that you enjoy doing that also brings joy and peace and so forth to others. And then put it to work. Again and again and again. Now, Peter puts it in two categories. When I first saw this years ago, it really helped me with a number of things. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. You see, God has given me a charisma of speaking. This operates when I'm talking. And it doesn't matter. I can just be in your living room talking. It's going to happen. It's not that I try to stop it. It just starts overflowing. I'm talking about it in your home if I'm visiting with you. If we're in the car, it's a talking thing. If you put me up in front of people, there's this talking thing that begins to happen. Now, my wife wonders if I ever use it with her. Well, it doesn't work that way. I'm a very quiet person. Mac will tell you, I spend a lot of time alone in the room he provides for me when I come here. Because I'm a loner. It's not that I don't like people. I've got all this stuff that I'm working on that I want to get deeper in this, so whenever I come, I can just overflow. But I don't talk much. If you want to talk about baseball, talk to someone else. Football, talk to someone else. The news, talk to someone else. Find it. Talk about someone else. You want to talk about the Lord and the Bible? I'm here. Amen. I'm with you. Because it's my charisma. It's the grace he's given me. Now, one of the main things of this message is to help you to see you don't have to feel condemned because you can't read the Bible and get the insights that I give, that I get. I mean, I read this thing and things explode for me. That's because it's a grace that's given. And I know people who read their Bible and get nothing out of it. And I said, well, just stop reading. Now, that pastors don't like that, but hey, what feeds you if acts of service come in setting up the chairs is an act of service. And believe it or not, when things are in order, people have an easier time worshiping. An act of service is just as spiritual as the teaching or the preaching or the other things that get all the limelight. Keep the chairs straight. If that's all you can do, do that with all your might and enjoy it. And people may not know who did it, and they may not realize why it's so comfortable in this place. They don't realize it's because the chairs are lined up. Now, I'm drawing attention to it. There's a crooked chair there. No. My point is, what can you do that you enjoy? Maybe you're a good hands-on guy. There's stuff around the church that needs to be done. Be a good steward of the gift that God gave you in your hands. Speaking, and it may be over a cup of coffee at a coffee table, or at St. Arbucks. And some people will never bid up front, but they have a talking gift that's one-on-one that is awesome. Release it. Be a steward of that. Whatever God has given you, put it to work as good stewards, whether it's talking or serving. And do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Okay. I want to do one more word and we're going to be done. This is a short message, but I'm okay with short. You okay with short? Say no. All right. And this is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. I'm sorry, 32. I've got dyslexia. 32. What does it say? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Now, why did I turn to this passage? The word translated forgive here is a verb form of the word grace. Grace. Gracing one another, even as God in Christ has graced you. How many of you, God has graced you? Then go grace someone else with the grace that you've been graced with. Be gracious. One other word, I'm not going to turn to a text, but it's in the context where Paul is talking about giving money for the poor in Jerusalem. I'm going to come by and gather the gifts. And the word for giving there is a verb form of the word grace. They're going to grace the church in Jerusalem with money. They're going to grace them. And he said, it will bring forth abundant thanksgiving to God. Now, charismachar, joy, charist, but we're going to put an E-U at the beginning. Eucharist. Eucharist is the term for what we call the Lord's Supper, but it was a Thanksgiving meal. As a little boy, I used to hear people, whenever we're around the table, someone said, would you return grace? And I thought, that's got to be the dumbest statement. Why don't you just ask us to pray? Eucharist is returning. I've received grace, and grace bounces back to him. That's gratitude, thanksgiving. So I sort of did a word study for you this morning. Find out what really sets you free and sets other people free, and release it to the body of Christ and in the community. Turn it loose and let it do its work. And it doesn't matter if it's talking or doing. Just talk or do. And let God concern himself with the results of what you say or what you do. Okay, I ran out of scriptures for this morning, so this thing's empty. I'm a teacher, not a pastor, so I always turn it back over to him, because I never learned how to do altar calls. I do the teaching. Class is over, so back to you, Mac.